The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parsha is Parshas Kisetze. In Kisetze, Chav Beis Pasuk Aleph, the Torah states, Lesire eshor achicho, o eseyo, nidochim, visalamta mehem. You shall not see the ox of your brother, or a sheep, wandering away, being lost, visalamta mehem, and to close your eyes from them. Hoshev tishivim lo achicho, but you shall surely return it to your brother. Now the simple meaning of visalamta, it refers to the beginning of the posuk. Visalamta means that you should close your eyes. It's referring to the beginning of the posuk, Leisire, you shall not see the animals of your brother go astray, and you shall not close your eyes. Im lekorav achicha elecho, vele yedate, ba'asafte yaltech beisecho, and if your brother is not near to you, you don't know him, then you shall bring it into your house, v'hayimcha adreish achicha esei, v'ashivas elei. And it shall be with you until your brother seeks it, and then you shall return it to him. So shall you do to his donkey, to his garment, and to all of the lost articles of your brother, which is lost from him and found by you. You are not allowed to close your eyes. And then the next subject, which is related, you shall not see the donkey or the ox of your fellow man falling beneath his burden, and to close your eyes from them, that you should help him support the animal. Now, besides, from here where we learn the very important halachos of Hashavas Avedo, that you should return a lost article to your brother. And the Torah commands us to do this, to return a lost article, and to guard a lost article for him. And Hatzolos Mamon Havedai, to protect his money. And the Torah commands us to do this with a mitzvah esse and a mitzvah leisase, a positive commandment of Hoshev Tishivim and a negative commandment of Leisucha Leisalim, that you shall not close your eyes. Besides this very important law, we learned also something else from here. The Mishnah in Bav Metzia second parak in Eilu Metzius and the Chof Tess on the base, the Mishnah tells us Motzo Sak Ekupa V'chol Dove She'ein Darka Litol Hareze Le'yitol. The Mishnah is elaborating on the particular halachos, laws referring to this mitzvah, and it states, but what happens if you find a sack or a box full of things which are lost, and it's not something that you would usually take for yourself, even if it was yours, then you're not obligated to return it. Rashi tells us, speaking by an Odom Khosuf, a person who is an important man, and is genai hulay, and this is somewhat of a disgrace for him, that here he's walking along in public and he finds a box of goods, or a sack of potatoes, let's say. It's a lost article. And if he's going to have to take this home, take it through the in public and take it home, this will be a ganai hulei, this will be a disgrace for him. And even if it was his own, he would not do this. He would not carry such boxes or such sacks, even if they belonged to him, in public. But he would hire someone to do it. If that's the case, then potter me'ashavas aveda. then he is free from the obligation of returning the lost article. The Gemara and Daf Lamed brings this
halacha and says Menachan Emili.
From where do we know this? The Tana Rabbanan Visalamto. The word Visalamto that we read in the Pasuk is a little strange, because really Visalamto means you shall close your eyes. It should say that Lei Hisalim, you shall not close your eyes from this lost article. So you could interpret it, means that you shall not see the lost article of your fellow man straying away, Visalamto, and it refers to the beginning of the Pasuk, and you shall not close your eyes from it. But still, the Torah didn't write that. The Torah said, Visalamto, and you shall close your eyes. So the Gemara darshins, the Gemara expounds, Pomim Shatom Isalim, Upomim Shayatom Isalim. And from the way that the Pasuk is written, we learn that sometimes you are obligated, you are commanded not to close your eyes to the lost article, but sometimes you have permission to close your eyes. Pomim Shato Misalem, or Pomim Shiato Misalem. Ketzat, for example. So the Gemara's conclusion is this refers to a Zokain, Ve'ena Lefi Kvedai, an elder, a Talmud Chochem, and it's not within his dimension of proper respect if he's going to have to return such a lost article, or someone similar to him. For example, let's say a Talmud Chochem or a Rav is walking along and there's a horse that's gone astray from the owner. Now, if he's going to have to chase the horse and then bring it home and take care of it, this is not lefi kvedei. This is not within the range of his honor. This is disrespectful. Or a similar certain type of person. So from here we learn that you have the truth, you have permission in such a case, the Torah has exempted you from this mitzvah. The Gemara a little further, on Laman Abin Beis, the Gemara brings a cloud. The Gemara brings a general principle referring to this. Omarova, Kol Shibishalei Machzir, if this lost article that you came upon would have been your own, and you would have dealt with it yourself in public, so Bishul Chaveri Nami Machzir, so then you're obligated in such a case to return it to your fellow man. But if it's something that you would have not dealt with yourself, then you're exempted. The same thing, if it's such a case where an animal was falling beneath its burden. And we learn now, not only you're obligated to return an article, but you're obligated in all ways to help protect your fellow man's money, his property. So if it was an animal and it was falling beneath its burden, had it been yours, you would have unloaded the animal, you would have helped the animal, you would have helped the owner, you would have fixed the burden, had it been yours. Then you are also obligated, if it's your fellow man's, also to help. But if you wouldn't do it in public, then you're not obligated to do it in public for your fellow man, you're exempted from the mitzvah. Then the Gemara brings a case. Brings a case with Rabbi Shmuel Bar Biyesi. Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yesi, have a kozel b'urcha. He was walking along the way one day. Poga be'ahu gavra. He met a certain man, Havadori Pischa du Ufi, who was carrying a bundle of wood. He was carrying a bundle of twigs. In those days it was common that people would carry twigs, and they would either sell it for firewood or be taking it home for firewood. Usvina v'kor mispachach. The man took the bundle off to rest. When it came time for him to move on, Omalei Delili, he said to Rabbi Shmuel, he didn't know who he was, he said to him, help me lift it on my back.
So Rabbi Yishmael didn't want to do this. It was ain't lefich fayde.
For him to go and start schlepping a big bundle of wood and putting it on the fellow's back in public, it was not respectful. So he didn't want to do this. So he said, Omale kamashovi. He says, you whole bundle of wood, how much is it worth? He said, palga de zuza, a half a zuza. Yoiv le palga de zuza. So he says, I'll buy it from you. So he gave him a half a zuza, the afkare. And he left it there and he said, it's hefker. It's ownerless. Anyone can come and take it. The reason why he did that was because he had planned to leave it there, and he didn't want someone to come along and take it when it belonged to him. So he was mafkir it. He made it hefker, ownerless. When the man saw that he had made it hefker, so he went and acquired it for himself. So Rabbi Shmuel harayav le palga de zuz v'afkare. So Rabbi Shmuel gave him another half of zuz. He says, I'll buy it back from you. And again he made it hefker. Now he saw that this fellow was going to take it again. So he said, Omale, he said, Lekuli alma afkirinu, ulecholay afkirinu. I make it hefker, I make it ownerless for everyone in the world, but not for you. Right? This is what he told him. The Gemara asks Akasha, that really such a hefker is not good. To make something ownerless, you must make it ownerless to everyone. According to Beis Hillel, it's not good. So the Gemara says, you're right, it's not good. He just told him that, so the person would stop, would go away. Then the Gemara asks, the Gemara says, why did Rabbi Shmuel have to go through all this trouble to buy it from him, and then to be mafkiret? He was a zokin, he was a Talmud Chochem. So therefore he was potter, he was exempted from the mitzvah of Hashavas Avedo, or for helping your fellow man with his mon. He was exempted, so what did he have to go through all this trouble for? So the Gemara says, yes, he was exempted, but lifnim mishur sadin huda avad. He was doing lifnim mishur sadin, he was doing more than the din required. In dine momenes, when it comes to monetary laws that relate between two people, so the Gemara tells us that according to the exactness of the law, you can conduct yourself, and what is mine is mine, and what is thine is thine. But the Gemara says it's not the best anhoga. The best anhoga is to go beyond the letter of the law. And even though it might not belong to the next fellow, or even though he might not have such a right, to give it to him anyhow. Because what's wrong with it? Even if it's not his, so it's be the mitzvah of chesed. The mitzvah of chesed is doka. So the Gemara says that's what he wanted to do. According to the letter of the law, he could have just walked away and didn't have to do any of this. But he did not want to go like the letter of the law. On the other hand, he didn't want to publicly disgrace himself. So he looked for a way in which he wouldn't have to exempt himself from the mitzvah. So he bought it from him. Lifnim mishur hadin. And then the Gemara brings a source where we should go. Lifnim mishur hadin. Brings a posuk. The posuk by Meisha in Yisrael. Asher yasun zu lifnim mishur hadin. And then incidentally, the Gemara brings after that. It says that one of the reasons why it was Chor Yushalayim was Shehamidu Dineihem al Din Teira Lo Obdu Lifnim Mishur Sadin. One of the reasons that brought the Churban of the Beis Hamikdash was because in Yerushalayim they kept the exactness of the Din. Nobody gave up. What was mine and what was yours is yours. And because they didn't go beyond the letter of the law, that was one of the causes for bringing the destruction. Now from this whole Sugya Sagamora, besides learning the great mitzvah of Hashavas Avedo, that you're allowed, that you're obligated to look after the property of your fellow man, and besides learning the halacha that it's a mitzvah to go lifnim mishur hadin and dealing with other people, don't go according to the letter of the law, but give them a little more.
We also learn that the Torah here was very cognizant. It was very cognizant of the covet of the honor of a person. Not only was the Torah cognizant of the honor of a person, but much further. We see that the Torah here permitted mitzvahs min ha-Torah to become transgressed in order to save the honor of a person. And not only do we learn that one mitzvah of the Torah can become transgressed in order to uphold the honor of a person, but in this case, even two mitzvahs. Because by not returning the lost article, or by not helping your fellow man, so there is the betel, there is the transgression of a mitzvah saseh, a positive commandment, hoshev tishivon, and a mitzvah leisaseh, a negative commandment of leisucha leisalim, that you're not allowed to close your eyes and walk away. And here the Torah said that because of the kovod habrias, the honor, to uphold the honor of a particular individual, you can walk away. You don't have to return it. So now a mitzvah zeseh and a mitzvah leisaseh, a positive commandment and a negative commandment in the Torah, are becoming bottled, they're becoming transgressed. Still, the Torah said, let the mitzvahs become transgressed. The Torah was more concerned with the honor of the particular person than it was with the money of the other person in such a case. This is what we see from this sugya. Now we have another case in the Torah which is written right before the one that we've just quoted from Hashavas Aveda, which also deals with the honor of a person. It states, V'chiyev ish chet mishpat moves v'humas v'solisa isala etz. This is in Posuk, this is in Devarim Chof Aleph Posuk Chof Beis. If a person transgresses a severe sin, a very severe sin, which warrants the death penalty. For example, he killed another man, which warrants the death penalty. Or whatever it might be, behumas. And now the Bez Din puts him to death. Visalisa osa al eitz. And they hang him. Le soli nivlose ala eitz. The Torah here prohibited with a leisase, a negative commandment, to leave him hanging on the tree till evening. But you must take him down and bury him while it's still day. This is a leisase and an essay. A negative commandment of leisolin. If you do not do this, then you transgress leisolin and you mevatel the mitzvah essay of kovesik bareno. Then the Torah tells us the reason. Why? Why can't you leave him hanging a little longer? Leave him hanging and you'll bury him tomorrow. Ki kilir selekim tolui. Because kilir selekim tolui, and Rashi explains, kilir means from the word zilzul. Zilzul shel melechu. It's a disgrace for the human being, and it's a disgrace for the king. She'od demosu b'demius djumke, v'yisrael hem bonov. Because a person is made, b'tzelem melekim, a person is made in the image of the Almighty. And if you disgrace this person, this is disgrace for the Almighty, for the one who made him. Rashi brings the example of two brothers who were twins. They looked exactly alike. One became a king, and the other one became a gangster. And one day they caught the gangster and they hung him. Since he looked just like the king, everyone who saw him said, the king is hanging. So it was a disgrace to the king. The same thing, since man is made in the image of the Almighty. So when man is is left in disgrace. This disgrace is his maker. Therefore, you must cut him down and bury him on that day. Ki kilas elokim toli. Leisatam is ad moscha asher Hashem alakach emesin lechonachim. This halacha, incidentally, is not only by Haruge Bezdi. The Gemara in Sanhedrin learns that this halacha, this law applies. From here we learn that anyone who dies is a mitzvah of kfura to bury him in the ground. And there's a special mitzvah to bury him that day. And there's a leisa, there's a negative commandment. If you leave him over to the next day, unless it's lichfeide, unless it's for his honor, the because the Torah tells us the reason. See, Torah didn't say here that you have to bury him on that day for other reasons. It says you have to bury him on that day in order that he should not be disgraced. So therefore, the Gemara says, what happens if you leave him over the next day, or leave him over for a few days in order to add honor to him? For example, you want to be maspid him, you want to make eulogies, and more people will come if the burial is upheld for a day or two. So that's a mitzvah. See? That's a mitzvah, the Gemara says. Because the Torah tells us why you shouldn't leave him over. But what happens if you leave him over, not for his honor, see, for your convenience or for other reasons, then a person would transgress a positive commandment and a negative commandment. See, here also now we see that the Torah was concerned with kfura, that a person should be buried, and buried immediately because of kavod abrias, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was concerned with the honor of the people, and even a dead person. See, not only the honor of a live person, but even the honor of a dead person. The honor of a dead person is not as great as the honor of a live person. That the Gemara tells us in Ksubas, the second perek. For example, if we have a conflict and we can only give honor to one, it's a question, should you... The Gemara brings a case there, for example, if there's two processions, there's a procession of a chosn and kala coming, and a funeral procession, a levaya coming, levaya sameis, and they come to a crossroads. So who should you let go first? So the halacha is that the procession of the chosn and kala go first, because kovod achayim is adif mikovod ameis. Because when you give kovod honor to a live person, you're giving honor not only to his body, but also to his life and soul. If you give honor to a dead person, the life and soul is already departed, so you're only giving honor to his remains, to his body. So even though it's not as great, but still we see that the Torah was cognizant and was particular when it came to honoring even a dead person. And the Gemara goes further. The Gemara brings in Brachas Daf Yutes. Modest learns several halachas from Parshas Noso and Sefer Bamidbar in the Parsha of Nozer. Midvar Vov. In Bamidbar Vov, Poshuk Vov in Zayin, it states, "Kol Yemei Hazirei LaHashem Al Nefesh Meish Lo Yovei." If a person becomes a nozer, that someone who accepts a vow, a Nazarite, that he will not drink wine and so forth for a certain amount of days. So then the halacha is, the law is, that he's not allowed to cause any tuma sameis to come into contact with any dead people. Kol yemei hazir el Hashem nefesh meis lo yovei, he shall not come close to any dead people during the time he's a nozer. Then the pasuk tells us, le'oviv ule'imai, le'ochi ve'lachesei le'yitam b'lehem b'meisom, to his father, to his mother, to his brother, or to his sister, he shall not come into contact when they die. Kineze lekov al roshei, because he has sanctified himself to Hashem as a nozer. But the Gemara says that really all of this is redundant, that he shouldn't come into contact with his father, or with his mother, with his brother, with his sister when they are dead. It's redundant because the Torah just told us al nefesh meis lo yovei, that he's not allowed to come into contact with any dead person. So the Gemara darshins, it comes to teach us other things. For example, that even if he's a nozer and a kohen, or even if he's a nozer and a kohen gadol, and then it tells us some other halachas. One halacha is that to his brother he cannot come into contact. To his brother he cannot come into contact if his brother is dead. But to a meis mitzvah, but to a person that has no one to bury him, he's allowed to. This means that if, heaven forbid, his brother dies, but there are others who will take care of the burial, then he is not allowed to come into close contact, because he's not allowed to cause himself to become tamei impure. But if it's a person who has no one to bury him, and that's called a meis mitzvah, then he's allowed to cause himself tuma. That's one law that's learned out of here. A second law that's learned out of here, lachesai. This is not referring to a nozer. What would be, the Gemara says, mi shoholach, Gemara brings in brochas, mi shoholach lishchei tes pishchei, olomel es b'nei. The person, during the time of the Beis Hamikdosh, when it was Erev Pesach, so everybody had to go and shech the Korban Pesach, they had to bring the Korban Pesach, the sacrifice. What would be, it was Erev Pesach, and a person was going to shech the Korban Pesach, and he came across a meis mitzvah. He came across a dead person that had no one to bury him. Now he has a dilemma. Because if he will bury him, then he is going to become tomei. He's going to become impure. If he will become impure, then he will not be able to bring the Korban Pesach, because it will take him 7 days to purify himself. So he's going to lose this mitzvah of Korban Pesach. What should he do? So the Gemara learns out from here. No, he has to bury the dead person. If the dead person has no one else to bury him, then he must do it. Even though he's going to now lose the opportunity to bring the Korban Pesach now. The same as the Gemara says, what happens if someone is going lomol es b'nei? He's going to perform a bris mila on his son. It's the eighth day. Eighth day, the Yema Shmini, is a special mitzvah to perform the bris mila. And on his way, he comes across a dead person that has no one to bury him. And he has a dilemma, because if he's going to stop and have him buried, by that time it'll already be sunset, and it'll be too late to perform the bris mila, and he'll have to wait till tomorrow, and he'll lose the mitzvah of Yom HaShmini, of bris mila on the eighth day. So the Gemara learns from these psukim that he's obligated to bury the dead person, and he'll just have to, the bris mila will have to wait. So these are two halochas. Now these are very important halochas, because here we see even further. Here we see that even a mitzvah, which is a mitzvah's essay, a positive commandment which has chorus, we do not find many places in the Torah where a positive commandment, the not doing of a positive commandment, has the penalty of chorus. Chorus is where a person, heaven forbid, is totally cut off
from his reward in the next world. We don't find many positive commandments. The majority there are the negative commandments. But a positive commandment which will become transgressed merely by the not doing of it, this we do not find, except with two exceptions. One is Bris Milah. Bris Milah is a mitzvah Yesh B'Koras, and the other is Korban Pesach, sacrifice of the Pesach. So here we see that the Torah concerned itself with the honor of the dead person, not only in place of the fulfillment of a mitzvah, but in the place of a fulfillment of the most important positive commandments in the Torah. You're allowed to bury the dead person, and the mitzvah of Korban Pesach and the mitzvah of Bris Milah will become bottled, they'll become transgressed by themselves, even though those are mitzvahs of Korosh. Now the Gemara in Brochas was bringing out the importance of Kovod HaBriyos. It refers to this as Kovod HaBriyos, that we see that the Torah had great concern for the honor and dignity of man. So the Gemara says that we find that, like we've said, that even in the place of mitzvahs, still the Torah many times told us to leave the mitzvah because of the honor and dignity of the human being. But the Gemara says a general rule that was only where the mitzvah was transgressed by itself. In other words, for example, you buried the dead person and you did not fulfill the Bris Milah. So the mitzvah was transgressed by itself. Or you didn't fulfill the Korban Pesach. Or you didn't return the lost article. Or you didn't help him load up. So the mitzvah is transgressed by itself. But actually to transgress the mitzvah openly, Kumba say with an action, that we don't find, the Gemara says. See? Then the Gemara brings, that's when it comes to a mitzvah min haTorah. But when it comes to a mitzvah min Rabbonon, if it's a mitzvah min Rabbonon, there the Chachomim, the sages, permitted their mitzvahs to be transgressed even openly, even with an action, where it came to giving honor to other people. What are some cases the Gemara brings? One case is Kovru Esameis. They went to a levaya, a funeral, and they buried a dead person, and they were walking back from the gravesite, a Chosru. Now, in the party there were some Kahanim. The Kahanim, though, were careful not to come too close to the grave, because the Kohen has to keep his distance. Now they're walking back with the Avelim. The Ovel, the Avelim, the mourners, are leading the way. Chozru ulifneim beis drochim. And there were two ways in which the Avelim, the mourners, could go. Achas tohor, achas tomea. One was a road which was tohor, which was pure, and one was a road which was tome. In other words, it might have had some graves in it. So what? So it's a problem now with the Kahanim who are following. So the Gemara says, "Boin imay bo b'tahara, tahara boin imay b'tahara, bo b'tmeya boin imay b'tmeya." If they're walking, if the mourners walk, take the road which is tahor, which is pure, then you can follow them. If the mourners take the road which is tome, which is impure, you can also follow them. So Gemara says, how can you do such a thing? How can the Kahanim follow up? So the Gemara says, it's speaking where it was a Tumah Drabonon. Speaking where it was not a Tumah min HaTorah, it wasn't an impurity min HaTorah, but it was the type of impurity that the Kahanim were not allowed to go into contact min Drabonon, that the sages decreed. Umishum Yikrei da Avelim, and in order to give more honor to the Avelim, they permitted them. Because to follow him is honor. So here we have a case where even though they are transgressing the mitzvah through an action, through kumba say, still they were permitted since it's a mitzvah drabona. Then the Gemara brings another case. The Gemara brings
on Reb Loza Ber Tzadik. Now Reb Loza Ber Tzadik was a Kohen. Medalgin Hoyino Al Gabi Areina Shel Mesim. He says he recalls when we used to cut across cemeteries. We used to cut across cemeteries right over the graves. Likas Malchi Yisrael, when it came to give honor to the kings of Israel, and even to give honor to the kings, to non-Jewish kings. The Gemara says that it's a mitzvah to go and see non-Jewish kings also, because then we will be able to tell the difference when the Mashiach will come, that the how much more great honor the Melech HaMashiach will have. At any rate, we see that he was testifying that he remembers that they used to cut across cemeteries and right over the graves when it came to give honor to meet the Malochim, the kings. Morris says, how can you do such a thing like this? This is not a substantial reason why you can transgress mitzvahs. So Gemara says again, it was speaking where there was not a tumah d'oraisa, but a tumah d'rabbanan. It was not an impurity that was forbidden min haTorah, but only forbidden by the sages to the Kahanim, and for the kovod habrias, to give honor to people, they permitted it. And then the Gemara comes and says, in general, in regards to leisosur, to the dini d'rabbanan, if it came a question of kovod habrias, giving honor, they permitted it. So here we have more cases. Actually, Tasis asks that we mention that even a Nozer or a Kohen are allowed to bury a person who has no one to bury him. Now there, that's not, there they're transgressing not through an inaction, but through an action. Alright, so Tasis asks that. In summary, from these cases, what do we learn? We learn as follows. We learn that the Torah was very cognizant, very particular of the dignity and the honor of a human being, even to the point where it permitted the beetle the automatic transgression of mitzvahs min haTorah. One example we have is from our parsha, that you were exempted from the mitzvahs of returning lost article or helping your fellow man with his property if it was an affront to your dignity or to your honor. Another example we have, not only in mitzvahs that related to dine momenes, that related to monetary laws, the Gemara says, but afilu mitzvahs that do not relate to monetary laws. Also, you were permitted to have transgressed when it came to the honor of a person. And what was that? That's in the case where a person is going to shecht the korban Pesach, or he's going to make a bris milah, and he comes across a dead person that has no one to bury him, so he's obligated to bury the dead person and leave the mitzvahs go. Even though now he will not be able to fulfill the Pesach on this the Erev Pesach, and he will not be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Yom Shmini to Mal on the eighth day. And this is a mitzvah sheyesh b'koros. This is a mitzvah that has a tzad koros, an aspect of koros, which are from the most severest positive commandments in the Torah. And then we find that when it came to a mitzvah, the rabbonan, a mitzvah which is only the rabbis decreed, those that gave permission even to transgress outwardly, not let the transgression be automatic, but outwardly, when it came to the subject of kovod habrias, the honor and the dignity of a person. So that's the summary of these sugyas, these sources that we've quoted here. Also, we should realize that we're not necessarily speaking about the same type of kovod.
when it comes to the case of the dead person, that Taisha says that's what is classified as a bizein hagodl. That's a great disgrace. It's a great disgrace to leave a person unburied, like we learned in the Torah, kilis alakim toloi, because this is a disgrace for he and his maker. And also shema tasriach shema yechla aklovim, the dogs will come and eat him. Heaven forbid. So there we're speaking about a bizein godel. That's a great disgrace. When it comes to returning lost articles, when you're exempted from there, we're not necessarily speaking where it's a great disgrace. It's something that the person would not do with his own, so therefore he's not obligated to do with yours. So that's not speaking by such a great disgrace. And then when we're speaking, for example, we mentioned that you were allowed to follow the mourners down a path, down a road which was not tohor, not pure, they were not speaking about a disgrace at all. They were speaking about giving him more covet. If you didn't go, it wouldn't be disgraceful if the kahanim went to the sides. But if you do follow him, you'll be giving him more honor. Or, for example, when they cut across the cemeteries to give honor to the kings, there wasn't a disgrace. It was a matter of giving more honor. So we're speaking even in cases where it's a matter of giving more honor. Now, as far as the actual law of what mitzvahs can be transgressed, what mitzvahs cannot be transgressed, and in what situations, the basic principles are here, what we mentioned. But as far as all of the details, this a person has to learn, because it depends on the degree of the disgrace, like we mentioned, and it depends also on the various mitzvahs and so forth. So the actual application, that the person has to study. But we do see a principle very clear and loud from here, and that is that the Torah took great consideration when it came to Kovet Habrius, that a person's dignity must be upheld, and not only other people's dignity, even his own dignity must be upheld. Now, to give us a little more insight into this whole parasha, this subject of human dignity and human honor, COVID. When we speak of COVID, it's actually something which is very hard to describe. You know, when we speak of eating food, it's something that we can describe, we can define. When we're speaking of material wealth, it's something that a person can define. But when we're speaking of honor, this is something which is difficult to define. The reason for this is because it's not physical. There is nothing physical in honor. It's totally a non-material, a non-physical entity. It's true that you can show honor through physical means, but that's just a demonstration of it. But the actual entity of honor, that's something which is totally non-physical. And from there we can understand it is something therefore that belongs to the seichel and the neshama. It is something which belongs to the seichel and the neshama, to the soul. Or it is something that belongs to the non-physical parts of the human being. It has no strong relationship with the physical part of the human being. Now basically, Chazal tell us that kovod, honor, really has a strong attachment to the tzelem elokim, to the image which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has placed in man. Recently we gave a long shiur, it was for Shavuos, on the meaning of the Tzelem Elokim. This image that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has placed in man. But whatever it is, this is what it is relating to the Tzelem Elokim and to the highest parts of the human being. Actually, we don't find too much covered when it comes to lower creations. For example, animals. See? You don't find too much the concept of Anu there. But mostly when in regards to human beings. Now, COVID is something which is not optional. It is something which is demanding. And it means that something or someone who has a degree of greatness in him, who has a degree of excellence in him at some aspect, then deserves honor and recognition. And this is not optional, which means that you can give him the honor, good. If not, it's also good. If the honor is not accorded, if the recognition and the admiration is not accorded, then this is an affront. This is a disgrace to that excellence. And it becomes then disgrace, bizui. And therefore, everything in this world that is at a level of an excellence, a level of perfection, must receive accordingly, according to its importance. There are some things that might be at a level of excellence, but they are not that important. We're speaking importance in reality. But must receive accordingly that much admiration and recognition. It's required. This is our Kodesh Baruch who created the world. It's required. And this is where honor is due. And if it's received, good. If it's not, then it's an affront. If it goes by unrecognized, then it's an affront. It's a disgrace. Now, there are many things in the world that might have a degree of excellence. The greatest things in the world that have the degree of excellence, and this we always see COVID attached to. For example, firstly we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The greatest degree of excellence in the entire world is the Almighty. So we constantly hear the concept, Kveit Shemayim. We must recognize this. We must give admiration to this. We must give honor, Kveit Shemayim. What happens if we don't? Then it's a Chil Shemayim, it's a Chil Hashem. See? Then it's a disgrace. Another such example, the greatest perfection in the world is the Torah. Therefore we speak of Kovod HaTorah. If Torah is not recognized, excuse me, if Torah is not the recipient of honor, it's not something that's just dismissed, becomes a great disgrace. This is Mizayin HaTorah. Another example, the Chachomim, those who are wise in Torah. The Pasuk Kovod Chachomim Yincholu. Honor that belongs to the Chachomim. Now this is the reason why. Because honor always goes to the highest point, to the greatest. For example, if you have a contest, who gets the honor, who gets the admiration? The one who wins, the greatest. So the same thing at world levels. The highest level deserves the truest honor.
highest level of perfection that man can come to is in wisdom and righteousness of Torah. That's the highest level of perfection that's possible in this world by man. Therefore, they are due the honor, the admiration and the recognition. Therefore, there's a posuk, Kovid, Chachomim Yincholu. Honor will be inherited by the wise. If they do not receive the honor, so it's not something which is just dismissed, then it becomes a disgrace, it becomes a bizui Talmidei Chachomim. Same thing we find, for example, Beis Hamikdash or Beis HaKnesses, the places which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen for himself. We have to give honor to it. If we don't give honor, we must give honor to treat it differently. To be mavdil min kodesh lechol. To distinguish between what is sanctified and what is not sanctified. Because the distinction itself is honor. If you do not distinguish, if you treat what is Kodesh the same way as you treat what is Chol, if you do not distinguish between them, then that's the lack of honor. That's disgraceful. Or for example, Shabbos. See, Shabbos HaKodesh Baruch Hu sanctified. Now there's a mitzvah to be Mekadesh Shabbos, and to be Mavdil, to make Havdalah, to distinguish it. If it's distinguished, this is the honor. You are separating it, you are making a difference, you are placing it on a higher level. You're recognizing it. If you do not, so then it becomes a bizui, it becomes a disgrace. Another important principle in this definition of honor is we generally find that something that an entity which is honorable is usually concealed. More concealed than something which is not honorable. For example, if you have a king, and a king because of his excellence, so therefore to him is due honor. His place is not going to be in the palace, is not going to be the outer room. His place is going to be the inner chambers. In other words, the more honorable the entity is, the more concealed the entity is. That itself is honor to it, from the fact that it's concealed. You come to visit an important person, so he has guards. Now we're not referring merely to guards for his security. He has honor guards. What is the whole concept of honor guards? Of people that are blocking him off from the public, that are dividing him. Because of his excellence, he's divided from other people. He excels. So the more divisions there are, this is a manifestation of the more excellence that he has. So therefore, when it comes to someone, to the entity of someone who is honorable, so you'll find divisions between him and the others. He'll be more concealed. An important person, he's not in the outer room, in the outer office, he has a more inner office. A more important person has even a more inner office, and so forth. This is why we find that in the Beis HaMikdosh, in the Mishkan, the most holy of all places was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Lifnai Lifnim, the most inner chambers, not the outer chambers, and not the inner chamber, but the inner of the inner chambers. This is why we find also that the Gemara says, Gemara brings a pasuk, Kol kfeido bas melech pnimo. A bas melech, a princess, she shouldn't be walking on the street. That's not her honor. That's not proper for her. If she's a bas melech, if she's the daughter of a king, she should be in the innermost chambers, not in the outside. This is also what we find, for example, in the creation of man. So the organs of man, for example, his heart or his brain, which are the most vital organs, the most honorable organs which he has, they are concealed. They're the innermost. The neshama, the soul, this, the Gemara says, is so concealed that it cannot be found. It's inside the person to such an extent that the Gemara brings in Brochus, we quoted recently, it cannot be found. And the Gemara says, why can it not be found? Because the soul is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot be found. Yeshiv B'Seisr Elyon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells in total secrecy because he's the most excellent entity of the whole creation. So does the soul, which is part of him, dwell in total secrecy. Opposite to this are dvorim chusim, things of low stature. If we speak of things of low stature, there you'll find that they're always gluyim. They're open. They're not concealed. They're not divided away. Because of their low stature, they're just the opposite of excellence and of honor. Now, we'll go to one more point. From here, we can understand what Rabbi Yechanan says in Masechta Shabbos. Rabbi Yechanan says in Masechta Shabbos, he says the whole concept of clothing that we find by a person is parallel to the concept of honor. And Rabbi Yechanan said the person has to have great derech eretz. He has to have great respect for his clothing. Why? Because they do the man honor. And he says, Leilem lekarisi es monai monai ela monai mechbedeisai. He says, I never refer to my clothing as clothing, but I refer to my clothing as honor. Because they do honor for a person. And the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos learns out a halacha from this concept. You know, on Shabbos, the halacha is you're supposed to have special clothing. Special clothing that you do not wear the entire week. How do we know that? So the Gemara learns it out from a pasuk that states kovod. That since it says on Shabbos that you'll be mechabed Shabbos, you should give kovod to Shabbos. So the Gemara says, therefore you must have special clothing for Shabbos. So we see that clothing here is a form of honor. It's brought in by the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, that he was very careful that he would wear on Shabbos clothing. Every garment would be a garment that he didn't wear during the week. See? That was the distinction. Now, why is clothing an entity of honor? Well, there's two reasons. One reason is it adorns the person. Any adornment is for his honor. Why do you wear jewelry? Why does the royalty wear royal adornments? See, because this is an honor, so it adorns the person. But there's a second reason. And that is because it conceals the person. It covers the person. And we learned that concealment, covering a person, that has to do with honoring a person. Excuse me. For this reason, that we do not find the concept of clothing, by animals. It's not merely coincidental that human beings wear clothing and animals don't wear clothing. Animals were given protection. They were given skins and furs and hides and so forth for protection from the elements. But the concept of clothing, that's something only by the human being. We do not find it by animals. The reason for that is because it was given as machbedosai. It was given as an honor to the human being. The human being is do this honor. Animals are not do this honor. Therefore, they were not given this concept of clothing. Therefore, the Gemara brings, it's a Yevamos and Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis, that it is a great disgrace for the person to go without clothing. This is a disgrace to his honor. Now, it's something to analyze, to analyze our generation. Our generation seems to be a generation that seems to be totally contrary to honor. Because, first of all, amongst the youth, a great deal, they're mevaza, they disgrace clothing. You go on the campuses, and you see in the rags that they dress in. So you see they're taking something which the concept, the definition, Rabbi Yochanan said, La'elam, he says, a person has to respect his clothing. Because clothing does honor to the human being. And he never referred to his clothing as clothing, but he refers to his clothing as his honor. If you will see the way many of the youth dress today, they go out of their way to dress in a dishonorable way, in a dishonorable fashion. So this is something which is an observation that should be analyzed. Why are they contrary to what the Gemara here calls this concept of honor? Secondly, we see that nudity in many places, either nudity in totality or semi-nudity, becomes very acceptable. According to the definition of the Gemara, this is the greatest disgrace to the human being. We see in this area, this is one of the areas that he was distinguished because of his excellence and given this honor of clothing from animal. The fact is we find throughout history that when enemies of one nation wanted to disgrace another nation, so they took their clothing away from them. They marched them naked. It's even brought, the Gemara brings this in Masechet Megillah, by Vashti. See, Vashti was humiliated publicly. by her husband, Ahasuerus, in the Megillah. And the Gemara goes, why? What did she do that she was publicly humiliated? So the Gemara says, because she publicly disgraced B'nai Yisrael, the daughters of Israel. She was a great anti-Semite, Vashti. She was the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, who destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. And she used to take the daughters of Israel, and she used to force them to work on Shabbos. But when she used to strip them naked to work naked on Shabbos. So we can understand why she made them work on Shabbos. She was an anti-Semite. She wanted to make them Machalo Shabbos. But what was the point of taking away their clothing? Because this was the greatest humility to the dignity of the human being. And she was out to break the back of the Jew. The Jew was the honor of the world. He was given more tselem elokim. He was given more honor than any other individual. And she saw that. And being a daughter, a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar, the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael, and the wife of Ahasuerus, she wanted to break that dignity. The Maharal writes. That's why she did this. It was because of that that she was publicly humiliated. That was her punishment, and she was killed. So it's something which needs an analysis, the generation that we live in today. But which was is considered the greatest demotion of the dignity of the human being. It seems that this generation seems to take to like a bear to honey. It's a question why. Now, this is also, and we brought that there's also the parsha in this Sedra of burial. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said you should bury the person and do not leave him the way he is. Now why? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to bury the person? And hell was a disgrace otherwise. That's also an honor for the person. Why? Because he becomes concealed, he becomes covered. Burial also, see, is a type of garment. The earth becomes a garment for him. And he becomes covered. And he's not left gului, he's not left open and uncovered. Now it's very interesting. We've mentioned this in the past, that in the early part of the Torah in Parshas Neyach, it's brought that Neyach, after the flood, he made himself, he grew some wine, some grapes, and he made wine, and he drank, and he became drunk. And he was laying uncovered in the tent. And he had three sons, Shem, Chom, and Yefes. And Chom saw this, Vayar Chom Avi Kenan, Isar Eva Sovi, Vayagid Lishniachov Bachutz. And Chom saw this nakedness, and he disgraced him. He did an act which was disgraceful to him. When Shem and Yefes heard about this, his other two sons, so it states in Bereshis Tes Posuchov Gimel Vayikach Shem v'Yefes es Asimlo, Shem and Yefes took a garment, a cloak, Vayasim al Shchem Shnehem, and they put it on their shoulders, Vayelcho Achoranis, and they walked into the tent backwards. And they covered the nakedness of their father. And the face was turned around the other way, and the nakedness of the father they didn't see. Not only they were concerned with covering his nakedness, but they even did it in a way that they wouldn't see his nakedness. So Neach woke up, and he found out what happened. He cursed Chom, and Kenan, who was Chom's son, and his descendants. And he blessed Shem, and from Shem came Avraham and Klal Yisrael, and he gave a bracha to Yefes. Now it states, by Yikach Shem v'Yefes, it doesn't say they took. It says, Vayikach Shem v'yefes he took. It's Amit Shem v'mitzvahs. Shem was the one who said, let us go and cover up our father. And Yefes followed. It doesn't say, Vayikhu. They took. It says, Vayikach Shem v'yefes. Shem v'yefes he took. So Shem was the leader and Yefes followed. So Rashi brings the Chazal that what reward was given to these sons. States as follows. Because Shem was the leader, Zochel Bonav Letalash Shel Tzitzis. His descendants were Zeicher to the Talis of Tzitzis. Abraham was Zeicher to the Talis of Tzitzis. Because Yefes did the mitzvah also. But he wasn't the leader, he was the follower. Zochel Lekfura, Levonov. His descendants were Zeicher to burial in Eretz Yisrael. As it states, Etein Legeig Mokum Shom Kever. In the end of days, so Geig, which is a descendant of Yefes, there'll be a war in Eretz Yisrael and they'll be killed, but they'll be Zeicher to be buried there. Chom, Shebizeh Aviv, Chom that disgraced his father, what was his punishment? It states, Kein Yidak Melech Asher, Eshvi Mitzrayim, Vezgolus Kush, Noorim, Uzgenim, Orim, Vyachav, Hashuf, Ishesh. That when his descendants were led into captivity by Melech Ashur, they were led into captivity naked and barefoot. So the Maral in the Gurai explains as follows. What was the purpose of covering their father? Covered. To give honor. And they did it in such an honorable way. So therefore shame gave honor. Shame didn't only give honor physically. Shame gave honor spiritually also. Because he was misamitz b'mitzvahs. He was the leader. And to do something, not just be a nochschlepper, but to do something, that comes from the power of the spirit. See? So shame gave honor physically and spiritually. Therefore he received the talis shel tzitzis. The talis shel tzitzis is both a physical garment and a spiritual garment. It's a physical garment that it covers the body. So it's a physical honor, and it's a spiritual honor because it's mitzvah. It's for the neshama also. That was shame. Yefes, he did honor physically. See, he went along. So he did honor physically to his father. So therefore he received a physical honor. What was the physical honor? Burial. Burial is a physical honor, not a spiritual honor. Why? Because the spirit has already departed from the person. You bury the body, not the spirit. So it's a physical honor. Therefore he received physical honor because he did physical covet, physical honor to his father. And Chom that disgraced the father. So he himself was disgraced. His clothing was taken away from him, and they were led into captivity naked and barefoot. This gives us some insights into when it comes to honor, covet, admiration, recognition, and we see that the Torah was demanding on the honor of all individuals to the point where even when it came to the transgression of mitzvahs, the Torah exempted one because of personal honor or because of honor of other people. Just one final point. It's a Mishnah in Perek Dalet, the beginning of Perek Dalet of Ovis, Ben Zema Omer. Ben Zema says, and he's going through the different attributes of the person. So it says, Ezehu Mechubat. Who is the honorable person? Amechabed es habriyos. He who gives honor to the creations. Shenemar, as it states, ki mechabdai achabed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, those who honor me, I shall honor them. Uveza yekolu. And those who disgrace me, they will be disgraced. True honor, true admiration, true recognition, the closer a person comes to that, then the more honorable he himself is. Someone who honors other people, so he comes close to this to this entity of Kovet, of true Kovet. He gives honor to another person who's created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See, he comes close now to the entity of Kovet. People who are close to the entity of Kovet, they are the Mechubadim. They are honorable people. Therefore it states, Ezehu Mechubad, who is an honorable person? Amecharevid Esabrias, he who gives honor to the creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.